Okay, you're ready to go.
All right. Happy New Year, everybody. So there is one source throughout your schooling experience that your teachers, your professors will tell you not to use. That's Wikipedia. And so what I did to start my sermon, I searched something out, and it's from Wikipedia. And so there's a proposed building in Japan that if it is accepted, it will easily be the tallest building in the world. It'll nearly be three times the height of the World Trade Center, which is our tallest building in the United States. It'll travel over a mile into the air, about 400 floors, and they would call this structure the Sky Mile Tower. The completion date wouldn't take 5 or 10 years, but rather it would take a projected 30 years to complete, and tens of thousands of people would occupy this building every day. So that would be a very impressive structure if it goes through and it ends up happening. But today, however, we're going to read about a building that doesn't mention anything about what it looks like on the outside or what it looks like on the inside. And that is a building that God calls us to build. And it's found in Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29. And Jesus says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rains came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he had taught as one who had authority, and not as their teachers of the law. And so Jesus never once in this passage tells us to build a tower with an impressive exterior, or with an interior with all the bells and all the whistles. But the most important thing to know about this building is that this building is you. And as Christians, the moment that we step foot on the rock, we began to build something. We began to build a real, lasting relationship with God. And so I want to look at the rock in Scripture. The Psalms, it clearly states that the Lord is our rock, and it is the Lord that we set our feet upon. And in Matthew 12, 13 through 18, we read about another time the word rock is mentioned. And so, and it says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say the Son of Man is?' They replied, 'Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets.' 'But what about you?' he asked. 'Who do you say I am?' Simon Peter answered, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus replied, 'Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it.'" So before the word rock is mentioned in this passage, Jesus asks a question that deals directly with the foundation of our very faith today. He asks that first question, who do others say I am? But the question he really wanted to hear answered by Peter was this question that pertains to us so much today. It is, who do you say that I am? Because at the end of the day, if I were to tell you and cite some of the most intelligent people in this world, they could be Baptists, Methodists, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists. They could be anybody. And I could give you an answer about who they think Jesus is. And at the end of the day, it would feel more like I'm reading you a paper than answering a phone call from you or answering a text message from you. It's not personal. And so Jesus, the first question is not personal, but he gets down to that second question, and it's very personal. It deals directly with their relationship. And so we could say, you know, some people think this about Jesus, and some people think that about Jesus. And, you know, some people think he's a liar. Some people think he's deceived people. Some people think he's just a good guy. But at the end of the day, what does Jesus want to know? Jesus wants to know, who do you say that I am? Because to give our opinions isn't good enough. We're not offending anyone if we're telling everybody everything about anything Jesus has ever said. At the end of the day, it's personal. And so before Jesus says that statement about Peter, he first needs to know who he really is and what he really thinks about Jesus. And then that next statement he says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." And Peter was a flawed man. Peter was someone who I believe if he were here today, he wouldn't say, build upon me. That's not what this passage is saying. Rather, it is saying this, that Christ worked through this man, that he used this man, Peter, to build forth his mission, to send forth his mission, a mission that didn't end up dying. And throughout history, we can see Peter was a pioneer of the Christian faith. He was someone who Christ eventually did continue his church with. And we can be thankful for that, but we don't need to get wrapped up in Peter in that sense. Because I believe if Peter were here today, he would tell you that if you were to build upon him, it would be shakier than the sand. And if you were to build upon Peter, then, or anything else that's not Christ, he would tell you that you would fall into a million pieces one day. And so we'll get back to Matthew chapter 7 and the parable and what Jesus says. And another thing I just want to point out in this parable is that the rain fell on either house. So nobody is exempt from pain, heartache, struggle, loss. It's something that cannot be avoided. So let no one convince you that because you are a Christian, you shouldn't face a certain circumstance or a certain situation. You're not exempt from trials. But know, however, that when these trials do come, you are much more equipped than those on the sand. Because you have a rock that you can fall back onto. And sometimes you may feel exposed on the rock. You may feel exposed. You may feel that the storm is very intense and that the winds are hitting you, the waves are hitting you, and the shutters are flying off your house. And you may even have to wait out the flood because your house is flooded. You may have to wait it out on the rooftop sometimes. Life can get hard, but that house will not move. It is built upon Christ, a Christ who is faithful. And he says what he says, and it is always true. Yet what does the sand offer us? One week in youth group, we went over this passage. We were talking about the world's thinking. How does the world think? And I'm going to give you three different people. I kind of made them up, but I'm going to give you three different people and their thinking. Number one, if I work hard at basketball. Number two, if I work hard at my vocal lessons. Number three, if I work hard at my appearance. And here could be three different possible outcomes to these three people's aspirations. The basketball player could tear his ACL in one of his last high school games. And because then he had to turn down a full ride to a college, could have been a Division I college. And because his grades weren't good enough and basketball was all he put his life into, he's not going to college anymore. The vocalist is admired by everyone. He has won 4 Grammys and could win even more. He reached the top and has everything he ever wanted, yet there's still an emptiness inside. The person who works on his appearance has every friend he wants when he's younger. He has every friend he wants when he's older. Yet those who are close to him, he cares less and less about, and every lasting, meaningful relationship he has fails him. And the tragic flaw in every character that I mentioned is that they built their house upon the sand. They built their house on a foundation that could not support their entire life. Each one of these individuals' dreams, hopes, and aspirations failed them. The thing they put first, the thing they devoted their life upon and spent years upon years upon years chasing after, let them down. And you know what? When they were hit by the storm, their house fell and they were on the sand. And a lot of them were even wondering if it was worth the energy to build that house back up again. They didn't know where to start. The basketball player may recover from injury, may go on to play basketball, may play overseas someday, may end up doing what he wanted to do eventually. The singer may win 4 more Grammys. The one concerned about their appearance may still pretend that that is what defines them. But deep down, all 3 of those individuals know that building up that house again would be pointless. There's a reason that Christ calls it foolishness to build on the sand. And this is the danger that those in the sand face. And so the next question would be, what does the rock offer? And that is the question that we need to cling to today. Because the rock, the church, Christ, may not offer you everything the sand offers. It may not offer you the material things that the sand may offer you. But what it does offer you is a beginning. It offers you a chance to restart. When you go from the sand onto the rock, it is a new beginning. It is a new foundation that you step upon. It offers you the chance to build a relationship with a God who will never fail you, who is for you. And Jesus Christ offered up his life for this reason, that he could save sinners, that people would go from the sand to the rock, that people would call upon his name. And we build upon this foundation. And it is perfection, though we are not perfect. We're building upon sovereignty, though we are not sovereign. We are building upon absolute truth, though our lives sometimes are lived as a lie. We build upon purity, though our eyes have lusted. We build upon grace, though we don't deserve it. We build upon patience, though we are not always patient. We build upon love, though we have the capability to hate. We build upon forgiveness, though we hold grudges. We build upon everything that we are not. And that is why we can look to God, because he holds us. Apart from him, we are nothing. As he says, I'm the vine and you are the branches. What is a branch without a vine? And when we build on the sand, or when people build on the sand, they feel as if they are in control. And that's not the case at all. They have nothing to fall back onto. Their foundation is shaky. But we have a God who loves us unconditionally. The only condition, if you call it that, I call it more of a benefit, is that we call out to God and we do step onto that rock. And we call out, we turn our life over to him and him alone. And many of us here today have done that. We have surrendered to Christ, but sometimes we struggle to build. We love our relationship with Christ, but sometimes we forget God calls us to reach other people. We stay on the rock because we know about his goodness. We know about his faithfulness. We may get splashed by the waves, but we know the rock has got us. We have crazy ideas like building a tower in Japan that goes over a mile into the air. But those are just ideas sometimes. One thing we can't avoid about this passage is that God is telling us to build. He's telling us to build. He's telling us to stand out. He's telling us to be that lighthouse that the world can see, that the world knows that it is built on something secure. And the one thing about buildings in our world today, if they're impressive enough, people are going to go see them. I just want to take one person in our world today as an example, and you may know nothing about basketball, but you've probably heard the word LeBron James. I don't know his heart, only God does, and so I'm just going to leave it with that. But take LeBron James, for example. He may have one of the biggest figurative houses in our nation today. The guy honestly gets quoted more than the President of the United States. He has won championships. He's been interviewed countless times. If he does something with charity or something charitable, he will be recognized for it. Yet if his relationship is not with Christ and he builds on the sand, then he one day will fall. His millions of dollars, his whatever he wants to do in his life, his businesses he wants to pursue later in life, whatever he wants to do, one day when he realizes it, it will fall. And he will be left empty if he does not have a relationship with Christ. And that's just an example. I do not know the heart of LeBron James. But we today are building on a house of Christ that will not fall. But sometimes I think we get afraid of building that house too tall because we'll stand out too much. We may be afraid that it may make us persecuted, or it will bring upon people in our lives that maybe we don't really want to deal with. It'll be too inconvenient to build our house taller than it is right now. I'm okay being as close to the rock as I can. But Scripture is a broken record today, and it tells us, I believe 365 times, not to be afraid. One time for every day of the year. And when we trust on the foundation Christ has laid for us, we have no reason to be afraid. We only have reason to stand taller because of what Christ did for us. And some of you, I've been struggling with the throat thing. Well, some of us here today have been building on this rock for a few decades. Some less, some more. Some of us today maybe haven't begun to build on this rock. And if that's you, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, that you don't have time to wait. And there is no better way to start the new year than with a relationship with Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is our Creator and also our Savior, who died for every sinner, and that is every single person in this room. And to those of us who have been building on the rock, I hear too many people say, on January 1st, I'm going to do this, or I wasn't good enough last year and gotta lose weight, I need to read my Bible more, I gotta pray more, I gotta A and B and C and everything. And through all of that, you know what we can do? We can forget. We can forget that we have been in this process of building a relationship with Christ from the moment we stepped on the rock. Because if your best friend, every year, your best friend, you don't restart that relationship. You don't restart some things you're doing. You remember everything that you've ever done with that person, and it's the same with Christ. It's a personal relationship. It's a personal encounter. And so this year, I just challenge you to keep building. I don't want you to reevaluate your whole life and look back on the last 20 years or look back on your last year and think about how terrible it was or what good happened. I want you to just keep building. Because I don't want us to lose focus. I don't want us to lose the main point of the gospel, and that is to build upon the rock. That everything that we do is building. And in no way do we want to take away from what God has done for us. No way do we want to tear anything down. We don't want to tear any part of our building down. We want to keep building it up so others can see. Others can see the light in us. Others can see who Christ is. That's why we build. We don't build to make ourselves look better. We build to make Christ look better. And so as I close, I would like to just ask a few questions. What today are you building your life upon? Are you building it on the sand? Have you taken for granted the rock? Not granite, but granted. Who do you say that Christ is? Is it your relationship with Christ or is it someone else's? But as I go back to that passage in Matthew 16, that one question still just, it resonates with me. And I think, although it was personal to Peter, I think it's personal to all of us today, and that is, who do you say Christ is? Because that question builds upon the foundation of who we are. Without that question, if we don't know what we think about Christ, then our relationship with Christ isn't where we think it's at. If I have a relationship with Mr. Milks, and he says, who do you say that I am? I'd say, you're Mr. Milks, father of Bradley and Brandon. Like, I know who he is. And if we can't say, Christ, you are the Son of God, then we need to get there. We need to get where we can say, yes, Jesus, you are the Son of God. Now I can start to build because now I know. And so the last words today are found in 2 Samuel 22:47. Is a verse out of the Song of David, or a Song of David. He wrote a lot of songs. And it says this, the Lord lives, praise be to my rock, exalted be my God, the rock, my Savior. So let's pray. Dear God, we just lift you up today. God, we just pray that this year we would continue to build. God, we wouldn't look back, but we would press on. We press on because we know your cause and your gospel is greater than anything we could pursue in this life. We know that what you did for us is something we couldn't do for ourselves, and so today we lift that up and we thank you. And as we move forward throughout the year, God, we cannot forget your blessings. We cannot forget what you've done for us. Ultimately, the cross. And God, that you died and you rose for us. And just be with us this year, God. We know you're for us, but sometimes the wind and the waves are too much for us. And we just need to go and be with the rock. We need to be with you, God. And if we go on our own, God, draw us back. If we try to run away from you, pull us closer. God, we are desperate without you. We need you more than we know. And we just thank you today for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe we're going to have communion at this time.
As we come to the table today, just want to first off say that if you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if your life is built upon the rock of Christ, and you've repented of your sins and come to Him by faith, and we invite you to join with us this morning as we remember the death of Christ, what He did for us. And as we come to the table, also just we're reminded of a couple things. Again, first is the sacrifice of Christ. We're to really reflect and to meditate upon the price that was paid for our salvation. And if you can just think of the final thorns, you know, think of the beatings that He endured, think of those who spit upon Him, all these things that He endured because He loved us in Christ. And so it's a great reminder, because we tend to forget as people the high cost of our salvation. So we do that this morning. We remember Christ, but we remember one another. A beautiful thing about communion is that we remember that there is one body. We're joined together in Christ. And so as we think about what Jesus did for us, His mercy, His forgiveness, we're to display that same mercy and forgiveness with each other in the body of Christ. And so there's a high call upon what it means to be a believer and how we treat each other in the family of God. And communion is a great reminder of that. If you're here today and there is friction, tension, any bitterness in your heart toward another believer, then God says it's going to affect your relationship with Him. And so today, if there's something that you need to work out with another brother or sister in Christ, then do that. Do that. Today is, again, a great reminder of that. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Corinthians, said, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And then, so He gave thanks for the body of Christ.
Father, we just want to come before You and thank You for Jesus, the one that Jordan shared about today, the one who took the punishment, Father, that was due us. Father, we thank You that Jesus was willing to humble Himself and come to this earth to live a holy life. And Father, willingly, Father gave His life for our sins, and we thank You for Jesus. And that's just in His name. Thank you.
Jesus said, "This is my body, take and eat." In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Josh, if you give thanks for the blood of Christ.
Yeah, I would just thank you so much just for just the punishment that you paid for us, the punishment that we deserve, the atoning sacrifice of your blood, sinless, spotless, you have a lamb that was slain for us. We just praise you and remember that.
Jesus said, "This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink from it, all of you." The Apostle Paul went on to say, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." And our whole hope of salvation rests solely right in the cross of Christ and Christ crucified. And so we just declare that today, that Christ died for sinners. But he also rose again, that one day he's coming again. We look forward to that day. We're going to close now with a song.
Wanted to thank everybody again this morning. I wanted to specifically the new year thank Joe for all his help in the back. I've been here a little bit over a year and he's always here, so I just wanted to say thank you for your willingness and servitude. And I just want to ask that you stand today as we praise the Lord with one last song in our new year. And I just want to encourage you that when you feel the Holy Spirit stirring for you to serve in some capacity, and you feel like, oh, I'm not worthy enough, I'm not good enough, just serve. Just step, take that first step, and he does the rest. So.
Lives. God, we thank you today for your faithfulness. We thank you.